Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades, finding the right insurance. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business. They'll find the right insurance, best price for you. These are the insurance professionals, and they're awesome people to deal with. And if there's a claim, man, do they go to work for you right away. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Now, this is in the world of media. We'll start out in this half hour. And not media in terms of NBC airs the Ron Gold medalist in downhill, in giant slalom. Oh, wait, they did do that.
And the winner of the Academy Award. Oh, no. Wrong event.
Oh, that happened last year. Well, what happened was is that, look, time wise, the top 19 are the ones where the medalists should come from, okay? So when they got to 19, they were done. Okay. So they went to figure skating. Nathan Chen, Adam Rapon, they went to figure skating. You want to see the American skate. Okay, great. Meanwhile, this woman who used to be a snowboarder or still is a snowboarder went down the mountain and won out of the 26th hole.
It's the Heidi game of the Olympics.
Nobody saw her do it. All of a sudden, she won by 1/100th. Everybody's like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. But she's a snowboarder? In fact, I think she went down on a snowboard. It looked like a Bond movie. And she won. And all of a sudden, NBC's like, and they didn't cut away. They didn't do any of that stuff. In fact, I went to bed thinking that the woman from Austria, Weitz, had won. And the next day I get up and I was looking at my phone, just going through and like, shocking winner of giant slalom. I'm like, shocking winner? What are you talking about? Shocking winner. She was one of the favorites. It was a shocking winner, and it was not one of the favorites because after they left to go to figure skating, this woman went down the mountain out of the 26th spot and won. Wow. The man, Lindsey Vonn, finished sixth and not fifth. So you get a participation ribbon for that or something like that.
Who was the shock? Where was the shocking winner from? Do you recall?
Czech Republic.
Hmm.
Yep. Whoops.
Yeah, NBC's really killing it, huh?
Between
all the cross-country skiing, all the commercials, and then missing this one.
Had enough of the cross-country skiing. My goodness. I mean, it's just going around in a circle.
We had some drama today. Apparently, there was a tie for gold. Very dramatic bobsled race. You were just talking about the bobsled.
Did it include any Americans?
Nope. Okay. Canada and Germany tied for gold.
Fine. They could have a 20-way tie.
And Latvia. Latvia got the bronze.
There you go. Great sled. All right, now, in media, UConn football and basketball. Now, they've suffered, believe me, by being out of the Big East and going to the American, which they had no choice. They had to do something because the Big East on the football side had broken up. Being in the American has not helped UConn anything at all in any way, shape, or form. And they, for 26 years, had an agreement with WTIC in Hartford. which is a 50,000-watt flamethrower. Then you can pick it. I mean, the Valley, you can pick it up at night. All right? They just got bumped by UConn to go to an FM station in Hartford for 10 years. For football, men's basketball, women's basketball, hockey. Now, the general manager up there said, it's not a blow. It's a business decision. Our company affiliated with scores of college teams. This particular one is not feasible in our opinion. Okay, fine. And the general manager of the station said that one of the UConn demands was to air more sports talk shows that were favorable to the university. He said, well, that proposal flies in the face of what we do. He said, Entercom, which also owns WEEI in Boston, has the Patriots, the Red Sox, and one of the companies has the Yankees. And they say it wasn't just the sports talk shows, however, with which UConn was unhappy. According to the general manager of the radio station, the school felt the conservative programming that they air is at odds with the best interests of the university. Really? Okay. So the university is going to sign a contract with them and then tell them how to program the other 24 hours, the other 22 hours in the day? 20 hours in the day? We're going to tell you what we like, what we want? It's like, get out of here. It's not how a business runs.
Well, no, especially if you want to be successful, because the one thing that actually works well in this format is arguing, is disagreement, is, you know, things that fly in the face of what the university would like. You want to stir up money or revenue or whatnot, you put on a show that's anti-university, and it'll be interesting. You'll definitely see some positive revenue, and your ratings will go through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to come up with, for example, what we do. Obviously, Mark Lawrence on in the morning. Okay, On the Mark. Terrific show.
Right.
You know, Dan Patrick. Terrific show.
Those five guys just nail on each other all day.
Yeah. And then they got some idiot on from 3 to 5. And then we go.
Of course, you're talking about me, not you. So.
So, and then in the evening between Shikellamy football on Friday night, Shikellamy basketball, wrestling, Penn State basketball, we have Bucknell on Eagle 107. We air a lot of sports. Well, that's the formula we think that works for our audience. Not going to have some outside entity tell you what you should and should not be airing. I think, for example, I believe, if I recall, because I'm up at, obviously, I'm in Hartford a lot, because that's where my brother lives and so forth. I think they air Rush Limbaugh. Well, that's their choice. If they think that that's how they can best make money, then air Rush Limbaugh. If they thought the best way to make money was to air Chris Matthews, they would be airing Chris Matthews. This is the way it works. You go with what makes you some cash. It's a business. So now, and I was talking to Malcolm Moran yesterday about this. Malcolm, we went to lunch yesterday. Malcolm, Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, Rose Carter, and Jeff Nelson. The six of us went to lunch. And actually, yesterday, he was the one that told me, Malcolm did, that they were severing this tie. And Joe D'Ambrosio, who was Joe D, and we've had Joe on the show before, and we've had Bob Joyce on the show before. Joe D has been the play-by-play guy for UConn for decades, and is just an awesome guy. In fact, he still gets a kick out of the fact that when he came to Penn State for women's basketball for the NCAA tournament, that Penn State hosted the first two rounds 1 year, He always gets a kick out of the fact that my son's the one that gave him the tour of Beaver Stadium. He loved that. Right now, their status is up in the air as to whether they're still going to be announcing the games because they are Entercom employees.
And that's rough. I mean, losing a distinguished voice for a sports entity, like, that's jarring to fans and, you know, the franchise or school. I mean, that's a messy situation.
Geez, I hope so.
No, no, it is. Just speaking as a fan, like, I remember, again, like, I'll go back to, like, either the Mets or the Rangers. Like, you know, for a while there, like, they would take Sam Rosen on loan from the Rangers on TV and take him to somewhere else, like, during the NFL playoffs or whatever. And it's not cool. Like, it just wasn't the same. It's just,
sure.
It was never cool for me, and I never liked it. Same thing with the Mets. Like, they took Howie Rose and replaced him with Gary Cohen, and now I love Gary Cohen, but, you know, Howie Rose was gone for a while. Now I think he's back intermittently, but still, the point remains. The voice is so much tied. That's why they always talk about championship rings that go to the, you know, go to the announcers and to the color guys and the whole thing. Like, when a team wins, it's, you're tied. You're inexplicably tied to that franchise and that school and whatever forever. So that's a really messy situation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, broadcast rights do change. That happens all the time. The question is whether they're still going to be announcing the games. And their status was not announced as to what they were going to do. Now, as Entercom employees, would they be allowed to work for an iHeartMedia station? Probably not.
And would they jump ship and go to iHeart to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm sure they would have that choice. You know, given the fact that they've been associated with that, you know, with the UConn Huskies for how long did you say? I don't even know how long you said. But
26 years.
26 yeah. years. That's a long time. Like, so I would imagine that, you know, they could probably work something out. I would imagine they have to.
You'd hope so.
Yes, I do. I'm not even a UConn fan, and I hope for those fans
right.
that works out.
Well, I mean, because Joe is, and like I said, I know Bob Joyce a little bit. Joe, I probably know a little bit better. I just like and respect him a lot, so I hope it works out for him.
Well, it's not like UConn's some podunk team. They have a very strong legacy. You know, they've won, as far as I can remember, I'm 40 years old, UConn's one of the teams that's associated with the NCAA tournament. Like just like Duke and North Carolina and UConn. Like, that's what I always thought. You know, and even though they've had a few down years now, you know, they're a legacy team. You can't mess with formula like that.
Right. So, we'll see. I don't know, because this includes their women's basketball. So what Bob Joyce does.
On top of that, yeah. You want to talk about legacies. Jeez.
Yeah. Now, that's after this season, so.
Well, you're talking about one of the most dominant teams in the history of sports.
Right.
The women's team. It's crazy.
And they also get the hockey broadcast, too. But, that, I mean, that's what they're going to do. So we'll see.
Hey, well, let's hope for the best, right? This business is, I can tell you from the ground floor, because that's where I sit, it's not pretty. So I can tell you, the radio industry is about as cutthroat and nasty as can be. And sometimes your abilities and what you actually do for a company don't matter. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference sometimes.
Right. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
All All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Penn State basketball after a tough one last night. Here's the bottom line. As I go into every game now thinking that Penn State not only can but will win the game. That's how much I think this team is advanced. I mean, I went in there last night. I thought they were going to win the game. They're up nine. They really, you know, like I said, the end of the first half. That's a freshman mistake. Mistake nonetheless. Because you had a chance for a two for none, which means even if you don't hit the shot, you've kept them from scoring. And you were going to get the ball to start the second half. And he put the ball up right away. And it's like, you know, it's not the right play. All right, that happens. That happens. So, second half, they fall down by 11. And they come back in time twice. Free throw shooting during the meat of the game could have been better. I mean, free throw shooting during the meat of the game was really not that great. Ironically, the last 4 minutes, it was really good. They were 5 of 6. And they gave themselves a chance to get it to overtime and just missed. Well, now they're going to come back at senior night. And they've got Michigan, which is very good. Xavier Simpson, point guard, very good. Rockman is, he's always been a good college basketball player, not a great player. He's always been good. He's having a really, really good senior season. I'm a big Mo Wagner guy. Inside-out player. Moves, can hit threes. And so that's the kind of team they have. And to the two of the kids, Poole and Livers, have really added a lot to what they're doing. So, that will be the game coming up on Wednesday night at 7.
And they have to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's your home. I think they're ranked 21st, I mean, for whatever that's worth.
It's 17, according
17?
To... 17? Yeah, according to the poll I'm looking at, it, they're ranked number 17.
So,
but they have to win this one, and it would be best for them to win it handily, like to have a nice solid win.
Just win it. This point, I think all it matters is you win.
Yep. No, I think it. If they don't win, then you know it'll be NIT time, and that's all well and good. I mean, that's not too bad. You're gonna beat Nebraska, so that'll be a 20-win season, and that'll be good. But
well, I'd like to let's just see how things go with this. On Wednesday night, this will be a really good matchup between the two, and I'm looking forward to it. I think again, you know, last year when Penn State went there last year, Penn State led that game for 36 minutes. 36 minutes. They had no way to stop Lamar Stevens. And that was a case of a really young team at that point, and at that point they were really young. It didn't know how to close the game on the road. That's why Penn State lost the game. Well, now the game's here. Penn State's older. Now Simpson's playing better. Matthews, the transfer from Kentucky's added a lot. But I think it should be a really good game. Really good game. Wednesday night at 7, and we'll be on beginning at 6:30 on Wednesday night.
And I know you're not a big fan of moral victories, but the fact that they're even here and we're talking about them, you know, being this team that can win any game at any time, considering, you know, where they've come from as a program, that's awesome. I mean, I think that's fantastic. I think that's something that they should be very happy about going forward.
I've been saying all season, even at times where they didn't win some games, that this is a good team.
Yes.
You can see it.
You've been on it.
I mean, you can see it. I mean, and it's been one of those where maybe too often I've had to say, look, trust me. I've been around the block a little bit. And people are like, oh, you can't lose to this team. And I understand that. Yeah, I completely get it. Believe me. But I also have been able to see elements where you can see they're very, very good. Well, in the last few weeks, they've shown they can be very, very good. Now they got to go out and do it again with Michigan here on Wednesday night. Matt Leon, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKMK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business. They have experts in every area. But not only the right insurance, but the best price. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, let's check in on how things are going in Philadelphia. Our old friend Matt Leon and Matt, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
I want to start with college basketball, then we'll run the gamut to a couple of other areas. Villanova, which had Xavier's number, beat them again. What's the status of Phil Booth? Might he be back this week?
I heard since it's possible. They played DePaul Wednesday. I think that's possible, if I remember reading something about that. But I'm not. There's been no official word that he will be back for this one. But it sounds like he is getting close, and I mean, the performance against Xavier notwithstanding, they miss him. I think maybe it's one of those people appreciate how much he was bringing to the table because they haven't been nearly as consistent since he went down.
All right. Now, they played well, and they put themselves back in another great, great spot. What kind of basketball overall? Let me actually change that a bit. There's been a lot of talk that Trae Young should be the National Player of the Year. And you and I both know he's been a little bit up and down. If somebody were to say Jalen Brunson's name, how serious a consideration should he get?
I think he should get a ton of consideration. He is incredibly consistent at a high level, and he is so important to what Jay Wright wants to do with both ends of the floor. He's not the stat stuffer that Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young put some lines together that you're just like, wow, I didn't think that was possible. But you're looking for high level, consistent performance at both ends. That translates to consistent winning, which I think is important. That you'd be making a hard argument to go against Jalen Brunson. The only thing Brunson might have working against him, or I think he's not necessarily flashy, and I think that's one of the problems maybe with consistency is people start taking for granted that he scores 23, 24 every night and, you know, 6-7 assists, doesn't turn it over. He doesn't have the explosive 40-point, 15-assist games. But Villanova has been an elite team during his entire career with the Wildcats, and he is a big reason why, especially this year.
In the Ivy League now, they've got the four-team playoff, which last year, of course, was at the Palestra. Standings-wise, where is it right now in the Ivy coming down the stretch?
Well, Penn and Harvard are in. Both picked up with sweeps this past weekend. Both have officially clinched spots in the Ivy tournament, which will be at the Palestra again this year. After that, it is all up for grabs. I would say Yale's probably going to be the third team. Right now, they're 5-5. They did just get Mekhi Mason, who's been out with injury the last couple of years back. He made his season debut in a loss to Harvard on Saturday night. You don't know what to expect. He was phenomenal before he got hurt. I don't think you know quite what you're going to get out of him after sitting for 2 years. But if he can play anywhere near to where he was before he was out, that would be a big boost for Yale and might help them, you know, kind of close the gap between the top two teams. But you could make an argument for Dartmouth. They haven't been eliminated yet. They've played a lot of close games. The big disappointment is Princeton. Princeton ran the table in the Ivy League last year, won the Ivy League tournament, had three high-level players coming back, and it's really just all fallen apart for the Tigers. They're now 3-7, got swept this weekend, blew a 22-point lead at Cornell on Friday night in the second half. And Ithaca is not exactly one of the tougher venues to go into.
Right.
So, Princeton has really just kind of fallen apart. I'd be stunned if it's not Penn or Harvard going to the NCAA tournament. I think they have clearly shown they are the best two teams, both 9-1. Harvard had a hiccup against Columbia earlier this year for their loss, and Penn lost at Harvard, where Harvard was the better team that game, but that was also the fifth game in 8 days for the Quakers. So, they will rematch this coming Saturday night, which will really, really be interesting and will probably determine, I would think, the regular season champion in the Ivy League.
Obviously, you want to put it at a spot like the Palestra because that's going to be the biggest runs, the best arena in the conference to do it in. But what kind of advantage could Penn have there?
I mean, it's their home court, and I think that last year was at the Palestra, and Penn snuck in literally on their last offensive possession of the regular season with a win over Harvard. And then they did not trail against Princeton, the number one seed, and they did not trail in regulation. They led for 39.5 minutes. Princeton tied it in the final seconds, and then it was, I don't know that I've ever seen a game like this where Penn never trailed in regulation and then never led in overtime. And Princeton ended up winning it. But obviously, you know, playing at the Palestra, it's a big boost. And I could understand if I'm another team, and, you know, especially if you're a higher seed. I think if Penn's the one seed, it doesn't bother you as much. But, you know, if they come in as a 3 or a 4, then you're like, well, why is it here? But then on the other hand, it's the Palestra, you know. And right. I have yet to really hear a credible return of where else you could hold this that, you know, has a connection to the Ivy League, is good on TV, is relatively good location as far as everybody's travel, and people will come to. Palestra's a place that if you're a fan of Yale basketball, you'll make a trip down to the Palestra. I don't think you're going to make a trip to the Barclays Center or wherever, you know, you decide to hold this. So, if I'm the Ivy League, I'd be hard-pressed to move it out of here. I understand the concerns about an advantage for Penn, but I think, for the good of the league, I can't think of another alternative.
You mean they're not going to go to Lee Amphitheater and watch that and...
I like Lead Arena in Hanover, New Hampshire as much as the next guy, but I don't think it's destination for the average basketball fan that's looking to watch a tournament.
I think the only two Ivy venues I've done a game in would be the Palestra and Yale. I think that's it.
Yale's like doing a game in a church, isn't it?
Yale? Oh yeah. In fact, are you still on the baseline?
They have you up now.
Yeah, I'm at least I was up and in the baseline.
Yeah, we're mid-court, but they have us up in the stands, kind of the first two rows of like the bleachers, the old-fashioned bleachers. But I think it's a cool place, but it's so different. It's so cavernous
it's
and everything. Yeah, but once again, that's not a place I think people are gonna flock to.
No, they aren't. But I was trying to think of the only Ivy places I've been to. Those are the only.
You never did a game in Jadwin?
No. Never. I've never been in the building.
Interesting.
142 buildings. That is not on the list.
It's different. It's a different design. It's much deeper, more open. I think it's. I think if you're a shooter, I think it's got some odd sight lines to the basket. But it's different. It's not the Palestra, but it's interesting.
The Phillies pitchers, catchers down at camp. Everybody's down at camp right now. Is there a different vibe about this team or a wait-and-see attitude about them?
I think there's a different vibe simply because of the manager, Gabe Kapler, who is going to do things a lot differently. They're not practicing till late in the morning because he wants his guys to kind of wake up when they wake up, not have to be at the ballpark at 7 in the morning and such. I think he's going to take some interesting, they're doing shorter practices, more focused practices, more game type situations. And he's just a different, he just takes a different approach. There's some Chip Kelly in his approach, as far as a focus on the, nutrition, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. I think they're very talented. They're young, but they're talented. So I think that will dictate more than, what time they practice during spring training. But talking to some of the guys that have been down there consistently, they say it is a different vibe in a good way. It's not that it was bad before. I don't mean to imply
right.
that.
No,
but,
I know.
But it's a different type of energy that that has it up with Gabe Kapler. And I'll be interested to see how that translates, because I think it's easy to have that, day 8 of spring training. If you start slow and you're sitting at 7-19, do you have that same energy? So we'll have to
right.
wait and see.
Yeah, I know guys that will be down there, and they've got stuff they have to do at 10 a.m. down there. They say there's nobody there, and it's blistering hot out at 10 a.m. down there. I mean, it's like this is great. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I think he's just being smart. He's being player proactive.
Yeah, no, and I think, once again, if it's successful, you'll see it take off like wildfire, like in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think the Doug Peterson approach, you're going to see that spread everywhere. Going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Play, it's people say like the NFL is a copycat league. Every league's a copycat league. Everywhere success is emulated. So I'll be interested to see how this translates. It should be a fun season for the Phillies. It really should. I'm disappointed if it's not I don't know what fun translates wins and losses. I would imagine around 500, but I think you've got about as much young talent in one place here, and it'll be interesting to see how it blossoms over the season.
How close will you be watching the analytics approach to this?
I think the last couple years that's been you've seen that. It's interesting. The Phillies have kind of gone 0-100 on that, where it was consistently dismissed under Ruben Amaro. But since Matt Klentak's there, you see a more push to it. I think offensively that led to the Carlos Santana signing because, he's a guy that only hits 255. The power numbers are great, but he walks a ton.
Right.
And if you put a guy that walks a ton, along with Hoskins, who is going to walk a ton, and you're going to see a lot of innings extended that way, I think we might see it more where it might be more jarring, for lack of a better word, on the pitching end, because I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of these five-inning starts and build on the bullpen and a lot of bridge guys taking you through the sixth and seventh inning, regardless of how the starting pitcher.
Right.
I have a feeling we're in for some of that, and I don't care what the numbers say. I'm not a fan of that from the pitching standpoint. You'll never convince me otherwise.
Right. No, I understand that, and I'm with you. To me, if you got a hot hand and they can't touch them, then you leave the hot hand out there because they can't touch them.
I've never understood doing the other team the favor of taking out a guy they obviously can't hit, but that's just me.
I know. All right. Matt, pleasure. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll wrap things up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Great. Lawrence is going to outlive us all.
Well, it's possible. It's actually possible.
I say he's making all these healthy choices and everything like that.
Yeah, I'm never moving up in this company.
Well, I mean, let's think of it this way. Who's got the worst habits on the staff? Probably the suit. He'll probably live to be 90.
Oh, of course. Right, so. Of course. That's how it always goes.
Yeah. He'll be there with the 2070 Olympic Games from Baltimore. Yeah, something like that.
Wait, what?
No, I said the suit will still be alive for the 2070 Olympics in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Sure, a perfect spot for it.
Yes.
If
Baltimore was ever the perfect spot for something, it would be the 2070 Winter Games, yes.
I mean, thank goodness for the X Games, all right? No X Games, no medals. I mean, it's simple.
Well, I mean, again, it's America innovating something, right? I guess, I mean, you could look at it either way.
Slope style. I'm like, hey, go. Hey, you know, it's like medals just as good as the downhill. I'll take it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the sport, I mean, there are, I remember when it first started with the half pipe and all that stuff, and when Shaun White first broke on the scene, like, it was all Americans. Now there's, you know, they're from all over the world now. There's all kinds of competition. So it's not like Americans are dominating that it's not so dominant like it used to be. So, you know.
Yeah, well, the United States owns that. And fortunately for us, it's in the Olympics.
Yes. Well, you know.
Because that's our medal haul right now.
We probably forced our hand on that one a little bit. No, we're really good at this, and so is the world.
Yeah.
They laughed quietly. No, it's a world event. Absolutely.
I just can't believe the last two weekends, every time I turned on the Olympics on TV in the hotel room, I got cross-country skiing. To the point where it's become a running joke. Like, are you kidding me?
And it's almost unfair that we have to compete against people who actually get around their country that way. I mean, that's just...
Well,
that seems unfair.
Yeah, but you know what? They are... I mean, they're really good at it.
You know,
really, really good. It is a strenuous, strenuous exercise.
Oh, it's crazy. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying, if there was an event called road rage driving, we would kill it. Just get a few guys from LA, and we would get gold medals across the board.
I'm not that desperate for medals. Not that desperate.
Oh, come on. I mean, I'm looking at the medal count right now. We have 10. I've never seen us get beat up so badly in an Olympics in my life. I really haven't. This is kind of a new thing.
I mean, even the suit's not watching. Nah, that's not true.
Hey, I've been watching, but I got to be honest. Like, what happens? The best time to watch, I'm going to be completely straight about it, is at night, like late too, like on NBC Sports Network or something like that, because that's when stuff is live, and that's when they play like the hockey games. That's when the hockey games are live, or that's when you watch during like a Saturday afternoon. They're just filling space. That's when you're getting biathlon and cross country skiing and all that.
Oh, look, they sit there. Look, you're doing programming, all right. And in programming, as you do this, they give you 4 hours to do cross-country skiing. You're like, great, that's four fewer hours I got to worry about.
Exactly.
Because you're on for 24.
You're not doing anything else. You're just, that's it, boom. But then if you watch the primetime broadcast, it's all commercials. I swear to you, it's like 40 seconds of programming, and then it's commercials for 7 minutes. And it's impossible to watch. It's impossible. You watch one run of any given athlete going down a downhill or a skeleton or a bobsled or whatever, and then it's 7 minutes of commercials to sponsor that, you know, 45 second
again,
run.
But again, they're trying to make up the $1.1 billion rights fee, and they're not going to make up for it. They're going to, I think they ended up selling $900 million, so they're going to be $210 million short.
Of course, I understand the point of it,
right?
It's just hard to watch. It's hard to watch.
I have not. I've watched a little bit of it. I watched some of the giant slalom the other night. But I've had games, too. Let's be fair here. You know, Thursday night, I had a game. Saturday, I was traveling. Sunday, I had a game. And it's like, you know, people that, you notice I haven't talked about the All-Star game. I never saw it.
It was entertaining. I'm going to give it that. If you want to do a quick little thing about that, it was entertaining. They played a little defense at the end. These guys really wanted to win that game. It wasn't messing around and all that. These scores were not in the 190s. It was 148, 145 or something like that. Whereas the past four games have been in the 190s. So they tried. I got to give them credit where it's due. The guys going out and picking their own teams definitely seem to have made a difference. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like it was. I mean, I guess a lot of people complain about the national anthem by Fergie. Again, I didn't see or hear that.
Oh, it was just, it was interesting. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard, but it was, you want to hear a little bit of it?
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
At the twilight's last gleaming,
Wasn't horrifying, but it wasn't like, you know, yeah. It was, you know,
yeah,
it was a lot. It was overdone. It was overdone.
They're not gonna bring her into, like, if the United States ever wins a gold medal in the Olympics, they're not gonna bring her over to sing the anthem when they put the flag up, right?
Right, exactly. And it was like 3 minutes long too. It's way long. The national anthem should not
three
be that long.
3 minutes.
Yeah, the national anthem is like a 90-second deal. Be done with it.
Well, the. I'll tell you something. When I'm standing there, we don't usually air the national anthem on the radio network. The reason is it's not mic'd up, so it's in the distance. So we don't air it because it's in the distance. We don't have it mic'd up.
Right. No, you don't want it to. Yeah, of course.
So,
well, that would sound terrible.
I'll be standing there, and if the national anthem singer starts out with, oh.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, we're going to be here a while. We're going to be here a while. All right, that's fine. Okay. Okay.
So it's interesting to see where this one will rank in the most awful national anthems of all time. You know, up against Carl Lewis's, which was just god-awful back in the 80s with the New Jersey Nets, and Roseanne Barr, who just, I don't know, did every offensive thing you could possibly do in any one singing of a national anthem. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right. Our thanks to Matt Leon and Rob Beer Temple for being on the show today. Chris, great to have you here.
As always, thank you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. The Purdys have served the Valley for decades. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, you name the insurance. They have experts that will find you the right insurance at the best price. There's a claim. They're your perfect partner that guides you through the entire process. They're the professionals in insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.